With that said, we are going to jump into the Word of God this morning. We are continuing in our series called Fresh Start. We are in week 4 out of 5. So next week, we're finishing up this series called Fresh Start, where we are looking at the beginning of Jesus's ministry on earth. We started with John talking about Jesus and preparing the way for him and how he gives us fresh life. And then we talked about a fresh baptism when Jesus is baptized in the water. And last week, we talked about how sometimes a fresh start just goes horribly and terribly wrong, right? We get tempted and all of these things. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. If you've missed any of those messages, you can watch them online. They are all there. And this week, we are continuing in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 22. And we are talking about a fresh purpose. A fresh purpose. As we've been talking about the last few weeks, there are seasons in your life where you are able to reset and start fresh, either in your relationship with the Lord or maybe in a career, in a relationship, whatever it is. There are just times where we reset and we start fresh. And for me, one of these seasons came in between my 7th and 8th grade year. I know I'm going so far back into my 7th and 8th grade year. I remember between that time, I was about 12 years old, and my spiritual life just completely reset. I mean, I was involved in an incredible youth group. Youth is so important. That's why we have a youth group that meets on a weekly basis. In the summer, we were going to youth camp, doing all types of events. And man, my relationship with God just completely changed between my 7th and 8th grade year. I got serious about my relationship with God. And one of the things that I felt like the Lord was calling me to do in kind of this new season in my life, as I was starting fresh in my relationship with him, was going into the next school year, my 8th grade year, and sharing my faith with my friends. I just really felt like this is what God wanted me to do. And I was like, man, how am I going to do this? Because believe it or not, I did not like talking to people. I was not the super outgoing kid that was always getting up and speaking and doing all this kind of stuff and talking with everybody. I was the kind of kid that went to school. If somebody talked to me, I would talk back to them, but I wasn't really like out making friends with everybody. I just kind of wanted to do my thing and get through school. Any of you students relate to that? Some adults relate to that. You just want to go to work, do your job, get home, and everything's good, right? But I really felt like God was wanting me to share my faith. So I was like, man, how can I do this without having to talk with a whole lot of people and just go up and be like, hey, do you know my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Right? That's kind of how we normally think when we share our faith. And so my youth pastor shared this idea. It's called a 30-day Bible challenge, where you would just take your Bible and you would carry your physical Bible everywhere you went for 30 days. And I was like, what if I did that all school year long? That everywhere I went, I just carried my Bible. And I'll let my Bible be the open door to having conversations with people. So that's what I did. I would go to school, I would sit in my first period class, and my Bible would go right on the corner of my desk. And it would stay there the entire time. Then I would pick it up and I would carry it. I wouldn't put it in my book bag. I'd carry it in my arm and I would go to my next class, put it on my desk over and over and over and over again. And finally, kids started asking questions like, hey, why do you have your Bible out on your desk? Like, well, because when I get some free time, I want to be able to read it. And I would do that. I would read it during school. And then they would start asking me questions about Jesus. And it was a great way to share my faith with my friends. Another thing that I did was that on Fridays, I would wear a full 3-piece suit to school as an 8th grader. Now, keep in mind, my middle school was in an inner city of about 200,000 people. Okay, so to say I got made fun of is an understatement, all right? Kids made fun of me all the time for wearing a suit. They never even seen a suit, most of them. And here I am wearing it on, you know, what's supposed to be casual Friday. But my friends, they started being like, man, you know, you're carrying a Bible and you're wearing a suit. They started calling me a preacher. Little did I know what the Lord was going to call me to do. But they would go, and then they decided that I looked like a penguin in this suit. And so my entire 8th grade year, random kids would come up to me as I'm going down the hallway, and they would put, and I don't know how this started, it just did. But I'd be wearing my suit on Friday, I'd be carrying my Bible, they would put their arm on my shoulder, and they would call me Jesus Penguin, okay, because I look like a penguin wearing a suit. And I would waddle down the hall singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me, and I lift up my Bible. Get random crazy eighth grader. We did weird stuff, all right? But everybody knew that I had a relationship with Jesus. You see, I felt like I had this new purpose, this fresh purpose in my life to share my faith with those around me. And this is what I want us to catch this morning. You see, Jesus has given you a fresh start by giving you a fresh life. And he has also given you a fresh purpose. A fresh purpose, a fresh life produces a fresh purpose. This is what we see in starting in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 4, that Jesus has a special purpose in his life, and he goes and he finds his disciples and gives them a new purpose for their life. Whereas before, as an eighth grader, I thought that I was going to grow up, I was going to go into the Air Force, I was going to become an Air Force pilot, and I was going to go to law school and become a lawyer and go into the politics and all of these types of things. God had a different purpose for my life. So if you look at chapter 4, verse 12, we're going to start, if you have your Bible, it's going to be up here on the screen as well. This is what it says. It says, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah, that in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, you can underline Gentiles, that's important. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. And from then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. I will make you fishers of men. And they left their nets at once and followed him. And a little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too, and they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. What we see here right off the bat is that there is a fresh purpose on display in this passage of Scripture. The first thing that we see is that Jesus had a special purpose. Matthew starts off right from the beginning about Jesus' special purpose on earth. Now remember Matthew's primary audience, right? He is writing to Jews. Jewish believers who they know the Torah, they know the Old Testament, they know all of these prophecies of related to the Messiah. That's who he's writing to. And according to the prophecies that these Jews had read, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all of these people, the Messiah's ministry was not supposed to start in Capernaum, according to the Jews. They're like, this is not where Jesus is supposed to go, to Capernaum into Galilee and start his ministry there. No, when they would read the prophecies in the Old Testament, they would read about, you know, after the Messiah had come, and he's supposed to go, and he's supposed to be in Jerusalem at the temple, right? That's where he does his ministry. That's where he delivers the people. Well, we know Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem, right? He goes to the temple. He cleanses the temple. He dies right outside, right on the hill, and all of these things, and he delivers the people. So he fulfills the prophecy, but not the way that the Jews thought. He started in Capernaum, in the land of Galilee. Now, what's important about the land of Galilee? Here's what Matthew is trying to say. Hey, this is the land of Gentiles, right? Zebulun and Naphtali, they were two tribes of the 12 tribes of Benjamin, and so they had this area kind of north of Jerusalem, around the Sea of Galilee, in this town called Capernaum, one of the bigger ports on the sea. And Jesus goes there because that is where Gentiles, people who weren't Jews, didn't really follow the Jewish law and custom. They lived all around there, right? Because that was the best place to become fishermen and to have jobs. And you've got ports, so you've got trading back and forth and all of these things. And that's where Jesus goes to start his ministry. And Matthew is explaining this to the Jewish audience. He takes the first five verses describing Jesus' ministry in this way to explain an Old Testament prophecy that the Jews missed out on, found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And he quotes it in verse 15 and 16. He says, in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. See, Matthew is revealing to us and his Jewish audience that Jesus had a special purpose that nobody understood up until this point. That Jesus' purpose was not to overthrow the Roman government. It was not to lead the Jews into ruling the world. Jesus' purpose was to shine a great light to all the world, to all nations, not just to Jews, but to Gentiles as well. Jesus started his ministry in Capernaum in the land of Gentiles because he had this special purpose, to go into all the world. It's extremely important. It reveals to us from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry that he had this special purpose to save the entire world. Sometimes we get this misconception that Jesus, he came only to save the Jews. No, what scripture says is he came first to save the Jews, but also the Gentiles. You and I don't think anybody in here is Jewish unless I don't know that you have a Jewish heritage, but I'm just making a good bet. Jesus came to save you and I from the very beginning of his ministry. It wasn't he was going to reach the Jews and he's like, man, these people aren't listening. I got to go find somebody else to save. No, it was his plan. It was his special purpose from the very beginning. And we see in verse 17 that this special purpose of Jesus redeeming all people, it's going to happen by repentance. Verse 17, Jesus is, he's explaining how it is that you come to know who he is. And he's reiterating what John said in chapter 3, to repent of your sins, to turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And this is what Jesus bases the rest of his ministry on, that you need to repent of your sins, to turn to him, that he has the power to forgive you of your sins, and the Lord will save you. So Jesus has a special purpose to save all the world from the very beginning. But what comes next is interesting. You would think that after such an incredible setup by Matthew, explaining that the purpose of the Messiah is to save the entire world, not just the Jewish people, that he would then just jump right into the action, right? It's like, hey, Jesus is coming to save you, and now he's going to go and he's going to do this miracle, right? He's going to make the lame walk. He's going to heal the blind. He's going to cast out demons. He's going to raise the dead. You would think he would just jump right in to Jesus' purpose in life. But that's not what he does. We actually don't see Jesus' power on full display until the next part of Scripture, which we'll look at next week. Immediately, what Matthew does is he turns to Jesus' calling of the first disciples in verse 18. And this is what it says. It says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he was just going for a stroll on the beach, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. And a little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. And they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. So we see that Matthew sets up that Jesus has a special purpose on his life to save the entire world. And instead of jumping right into the action of Jesus performing all these wonderful miracles and healings and raising people from the dead, instead he goes to Jesus calling his first disciples. And it's because of this, that not only does Jesus have a special purpose, but he sees a fresh purpose in you. He saw something different in these disciples. And instead, man, those kids, they're having a great time. They're loving it. You see, instead of just revealing who he was, he brought his disciples in on it as well. It's not by accident that Matthew jumps from Jesus' mission and purpose to the calling of the disciples, because while Jesus is the one whose divine purpose is to offer eternal salvation, here's what Jesus is doing. He's inviting all of his disciples, his followers, to share in this fresh purpose as well. See, this is what Jesus charged all of his disciples with in Matthew 28:19, right? The Great Commission. Jesus says, I'm coming to save the entire world, but now I'm going to invite you to partake in it, to accomplish this mission, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is what he calls the disciples to do. This is important. We need to catch this, that Jesus has a purpose for each and every one of his followers. If you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, he has a fresh purpose for you to share the gospel. This is what Jesus came to do, and he is including us in this special purpose. And Jesus would not include you in this special purpose if he did not see something special in you. See, God sees something special, and he wants to give you a new purpose, a fresh purpose, to share the gospel to those who have not yet heard that there is eternal life through Jesus Christ. See, the fresh purpose is the purpose of each and every one of us. It's what Jesus himself is calling us to do. It's what he was calling the disciples to do at the very beginning. You see, what we see in this passage of scripture is this, that Jesus does not care about your occupation. He doesn't care about your skill set. He doesn't care about your education level. He doesn't care if you're a good public speaker or not. Jesus does not care if you're in the 7th grade, the 8th grade, a stay-at-home mom, a working dad, or if you are retired. He sees something special in you, and he's calling you to a fresh and a greater purpose to share the good news that he has come to save the world with all people that you encounter. We all have a fresh purpose. And it's given by Jesus to follow him, and he will make us fishers of men. Now, here's what's interesting. Jesus used the current skill set of Peter, Andrew, James, and John to guide them into this fresh purpose. You may be sitting here thinking, okay, Pastor Brandon, you're saying that I have a purpose, maybe a call of God on my life to share the gospel with other people. Does that mean that I need to give up my job, become a pastor, or become a missionary and go across the country or across the sea to do it? No, not at all. Jesus went to Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and he used their current skill set where they were already living. This is what he did. Just because you have a purpose to share the gospel doesn't mean you have to go to some other country or to change your occupation. See, Jesus used the current skill set of these fishermen to share the gospel. Right? He guides them in this new purpose. They were fishermen. They knew what it was like to throw nets all day and not catch anything. Some of you know what it's like to go fishing all day and not catch anything. My wife can teach you this lesson. She's very good at going fishing and not catching anything. In fact, we have lived in Wyoming for 3 years almost, and she has not caught a single fish while living in the state of Wyoming. She blames it on the trout. She says she can't catch trout, but we all know the truth. Anyway, they knew what it was like to not throw nets or to throw nets all day and not catch anything. But they also knew the joy of pulling in a big haul where, man, their nets are just overloaded and so full. As fishermen, they had multiple skill sets, right? In order to be a good fisherman, you have to be patient. That's why I'm not a good fisherman. Because if I don't catch anything in the first hour, I am done. All right? I do not have the patience to catch fish all day. You also have to be courageous, especially these fishermen, right? They're on the Sea of Galilee. They have a boat. They have a family to provide for. So they have to be courageous, because when those storms and those winds and the waves start to come up on the sea and they've still got to put food on the table, you know what they're doing? They're brave and courageous. They're going out into the storm trying to catch fish. To be a good fisherman, you have to be optimistic, right? I have not ever met a fisherman who gets all of their tackle ready and they're going up to the lake and they're going to be like, man, I don't think I'm going to catch anything today, but you know what? I'm still going to go. No. Every fisherman I've ever talked about is the most optimistic that they could ever be. Today's going to be a good day, right? I'm going to catch my limit. I'm going to get the state record. I'm going to do all of this. Man, we are excited when we go fishing. Got to be optimistic. Clearly, they have skills, right? Andrew, or James and John, they're working their nets. They're mending them. They're using their skills to get everything together. They're also cooperative, right? James and John and Peter and Andrew, they most likely worked together at different times. in order to bring in the fish. And man, to be a good fisherman, you have to be full of faith. Have to be full of faith. You have to believe that you are going to catch as much fish as you can muster. These are great skills to have when it comes to fishing. But Jesus knew these were even greater skills to have when it comes to sharing the gospel. He knew that these were so much better to have. That man, when you go and you share the gospel with a coworker or a family member or somebody at the grocery store, man, you've got to be optimistic. If you go in and you're just like, man, they're just going to tell me that I'm stupid and that I'm crazy, religious, you know, bigot for thinking all of this stuff. Man, that's not how you do it. You go in expecting, man, Holy Spirit, you have led me to talk to this person at this moment of time because I believe that their heart is ready. You go in, you're optimistic, you're courageous. Man, somebody might be mad at you. They might spit in your face. They might be like, hey, get that religious garbage out of here. But guess what? You go in bold and full of courage, knowing that Jesus came to save their soul. The hardest part is when you share the gospel, sometimes you have to be patient. I don't know about you, but I grew up thinking that, man, when God said that I needed to share my faith with somebody, I was supposed to go up to them, whether it was in the hallway at school or is at work during lunch break, and man, I was supposed to share the gospel. They're going to give their life to the Lord right then, going to pray the sinner's prayer, and man, they're just going to completely change their life. You know how many times that's happened to me as a pastor? Zero. That has never happened to me, ever. Does that mean that I'm doing something wrong? No. What it means is sometimes we have to be patient and we have to put in the hard work like a fisherman, 2, 3, 4 days, even months where we're just sharing life, sharing faith, saying, hey, I am praying with you in this relationship that you're having an issue with or your financial difficulties or your kids, and you come and you walk alongside them and you are patient with them. And finally, they're gonna come to you and they're gonna say, man, what do I need to do? Because I can't do this on my own anymore. And they give their lives to Christ. I can't even count how many coworkers and friends over the last 4 to 5 years that after I have moved on from the job, after I graduated high school, all of these things, I've had them Facebook message me or call me on the phone and they say, Brandon, remember all of those years where you would carry your Bible to school? And you would share your faith and you would say that you are praying for me. And remember those times at work where we were on break and I was just telling you about all of these issues that I was having with my kids and all this stuff. I just want you to know I just gave my life to the Lord and I was baptized this last Sunday. Sometimes it takes patience. But God has a purpose. And God has given you certain skill sets in your areas of life because he knows those are the skills that you need to share the gospel with others. See, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom, and you're like, well, man, what has God given me, right? Maybe I'm not very courageous, and I'm at home by myself, so how can I be cooperative and all of these things? Well, if you're a stay-at-home mom, he's equipped you with patience 100%. He's given you tenderness. That, man, when your kids are just there, you're already at your wit's end, and they come, and they're hurting, man, that tenderness just shines right through. You don't think God can use that? When somebody is struggling to show love and tenderness and compassion to them the way that Jesus would. You have endurance. You have compassion. What's your skill set? Maybe you're an educator and he's equipped you with being able to explain complex issues, right? Maybe there's somebody that you work with and they're just really struggling with these theological concepts and things, and you can kind of break down these complicated topics and teach it to them. You have the ability to hold an audience. You have tenacity and passion and vigor. Maybe you work construction. You have skills. You have strength. You have a let's get it done attitude, right? Like, man, no sense in putting it off tomorrow. Let's just get this done today. We're going to be tired afterwards, but at least it'll be done. You have a mind that can see a unique situation and bring a solution to it. I've always envied this about my dad. He's been in construction his entire life, and he can go and he can look at something. Maybe there's some framing that's off, or maybe there's some finishing work that's just not coming out right, and he can just sit there and he can stare at the problem for like 2 hours, and then he just has a solution. It just blows my mind. I could stare at that thing for 3 days, and I wouldn't need to see anything other than drywall and nails. It's absolutely crazy. See, whatever your current occupation is, God's not calling you to give it up. He's given you gifts and abilities to fulfill this fresh purpose in your life, to share the gospel with those around you. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. You think it was easy for Peter and for Andrew and James and John to leave everything behind and to go and follow Jesus? It wasn't easy, but they already had the skills. Jesus saw what they had. He saw their potential, and he pulled it out in them. And he does the same thing. But it's not going to be easy because there's some things that having this fresh purpose to share the gospel involves in our life. And this is why sometimes it's difficult for us to share the gospel. If you want to know why, like, man, you've probably been the same way I have my whole life. Like, man, I know, man, I just want to share my faith. I know what Jesus has done for me. I know how he has saved my soul. I know that he brought me from this crazy, just mad, angry kid all of the time, and he has given me this new life, and I want to share that with people, but I don't know how. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. Well, here's the first thing. Having this fresh purpose involves leaving the comfortable. It involves leaving the comfortable. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm out, right? Like, if I got to be uncomfortable, I'm not sure. But the disciples were uncomfortable. We see that they left everything that was comfortable to them. They left their career. They left their familiarity of the area. We see Jesus, he goes to Jerusalem. He goes all around. He doesn't just stay in Capernaum. He goes everywhere. They leave their familiarity. They leave their wealth and their resources. We see James and John, they literally leave their boat. You know how expensive a boat was 2,000 years ago? My goodness. They even leave their family, right? James and John, their father is in the boat. And it says immediately they left him. We see through history that Peter most likely had a wife and he had kids and a family. And he is gone for extended periods of time to be taught by Jesus. It wasn't comfortable for the disciples. But they knew that God had a greater purpose in store for them. See, likewise, Jesus may be calling you to leave the comfortable. It may be a step like I took in eighth grade about reading your Bible during breaks at work, sharing your faith with a coworker when they're talking about challenges in their life, and you're just not used to this kind of stuff, and it's a little uncomfortable for a while. Maybe leaving the comfortable is going up to a complete stranger and sharing the love of Christ by paying for their gas or encouraging them with a word from the Lord. Or it may be leaving your family, moving across the country or even overseas to share the gospel with people who desperately need to hear it. See, Kinsey and I, we try to live our life with this fresh purpose in mind, to share the gospel. You think it was comfortable to move away from our family in Missouri and Illinois, come all the way to Wyoming, where we don't know anybody, to share the gospel intensely? It's not always been comfortable, but it's always been worth it. See, we tend to read about the disciples leaving their nets and following Jesus, and we think it was easy for them to do it. In fact, I've heard sermons on this, right? That when you read this passage of scripture, it says that Jesus says, come follow me and I'll help you teach you how to fish for people. It says they left their nets at once and followed him. Right, and then we get down to James and John, and it says, Jesus called them to come too, and they immediately followed him, leaving their boat and their father behind, right? And we think, well, man, if they did it at once and they did it immediately, it must have been easy. Listen, just because somebody is obeying the Lord does not mean that it's easy. Anybody hear what I'm saying? What about the times in your life where you obeyed the Lord and you knew, yeah, I need to do this right now, but it still wasn't easy? It sure was uncomfortable. Man, you may have still had some doubts. You may have still had some worry in your life. You may not have had everything figured out. You may have had some reservations. It's not always easy. It's almost always uncomfortable. But having this fresh purpose in your life is always worth it. Fresh purpose involves leaving the comfortable. So what is it that God is challenging you in your life to do? Where are these areas of comfortability that he's calling out in your life to share the gospel with those around you? The last thing that we see that having this fresh purpose of sharing the gospel involves is that this fresh purpose involves preparation. It involves leaving the comfortable and it involves preparation. You see, Jesus didn't just happen to be going for a stroll on the beach and see these two guys fishing and is like, hey, you guys would be really good disciples, so come follow me. I'll teach you how to make, teach you how to fish for men. Right? Sometimes we read it, that's what we think happened. But Jesus actually interacted with them before. In John chapter 1, we see that John the Baptist, he told two of his disciples about Jesus, right? He says, look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he tells them to follow Jesus. And what we see in John chapter 1 is that one of these two disciples that John the Baptist is talking to is Andrew, Peter's brother. Way before this moment where Jesus is walking on the shore and calls them, because what we see is that Andrew spends an entire day with Jesus before he ever sees him in the boat. Him and the other guy, they go up to Jesus and they say, hey, it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Where are you staying tonight, right? You're a teacher. You're from Nazareth. You're not from around here. So do you have a place to stay? And he says, no, I don't have anywhere to stay. And they say, okay, come stay with us. They stay all night. They're eating dinner. They're talking. They're having this relationship with the Lord before they were ever called. But even then, God never just sticks you in a boat and says, have at it. Maybe that's how you learned how to fish. That's how my dad taught me how to fish, right? He just gave me a fishing pole and said, here, figure it out. That's not what Jesus does with us. It involves preparation. You see, when Jesus called the disciples, he didn't immediately give them the Great Commission to go and to make disciples. No, he spent the next 3.5 years teaching the disciples about what it's like to follow him, about what it's like to live life with him, about having faith and trust and hope that the Lord will always provide. We see miracles like the feeding of the 5,000 people that the disciples, they had no faith for, but Jesus says, hey, I got to prepare you for when I'm not here. I've got to teach you how to have faith. I'm always going to provide for you. I'm always going to be here for you. We see in chapter 5, the next chapter, that Jesus, he goes to the Sermon on the Mount and he just teaches about all of these areas of life to the crowds and to the disciples. He's preparing them for when he's not here on the earth. See, Jesus knew that they needed to prepare, to be taught and challenged in their faith before they were to go and make disciples. You see, between this passage of scripture right here and the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, there are 24 chapters. In those 24 chapters, there are 987 verses. Yes, I counted them. Between the phrase, I will make you fishers of men, and go and make disciples. And in those 987 verses, they are full of Jesus living life with and teaching the disciples what it means to be a follower of Christ. And I believe that one of the greatest mistakes that we make in the modern church today is releasing people to fulfill this fresh purpose of sharing the gospel before they are ready. See, at the same time, well, let me unpack that a little bit. What do I mean by that? You see, I have seen people who they come to their faith in Christ. They just have this radical encounter with Jesus, and they are all in. And they go and they start to share their faith, and they begin to preach the word of God because there's a call of God on their life to preach the word. And then 2, 3, 4, 5 years later, they just leave the faith altogether. In fact, this last week, a colleague, a pastor in the Assemblies of God, somebody that I have had conversations with and know from being a pastor, this happened to him. He talked about when he was 17 years old, he gave his life to the Lord. And at 18 years old, his youth pastor came and said, hey, you're called to be a pastor. And he said, well, okay, then that's great. And so he goes and he begins to preach. And this last week, he just came out and says he doesn't follow Jesus anymore. He doesn't believe in God. He's not a Christian. One of the greatest mistakes we do is to share the gospel before we really know what we're talking about. Jesus took 3.5 years with the disciples. Now, I'm not saying when the Lord tells you to share the gospel that you're like, hey, Jesus, you haven't prepared me for this conversation, right? Like, we still got to be led by the Holy Spirit. We got to do what the Lord says. Because at the same time, we can use that as an excuse not to share the gospel. We can say, well, Jesus, I don't know what I'm talking about. Or Jesus, I don't know if I'm ready yet or not. And we say that we need more preparation when really he's trying to give us the power to go and share the gospel. See, if you've been following Jesus for 3.5 years, you're probably prepared. He thought the disciples were. And we have to share our faith with people that we know aren't Christians. Again, I'm not saying don't share the gospel with people when the Holy Spirit tells you to. What I'm saying is that you need to take time to be taught and trained by the Lord before you start teaching and training other people. You see, a fresh purpose involves leaving the comfortable and preparing for what God is calling you to do. But here's the thing. Jesus is calling us to do one of those two things right now. Maybe you are in this season of life where, man, you have been prepared. You've been coming to church for a long time, and you've been just really just digging in and hearing the word of God and applying it to your life. You've been studying the scriptures on your own. You know, all of these things, you're just close to the Lord. Well, he is calling you to leave the comfortable and to begin sharing that faith with those around you. Or maybe you're at a place in life where you're like, man, you know what? I know that I need to be sharing my faith with people, but I don't know how, and I don't really know what I'm talking about. Well, maybe right now the Holy Spirit is leading you, saying, hey, you need to prepare some more, right? You need to be digging in. You need to be doing some Bible studies. You need to be digging into the scripture more. And if you need help with that, knowing, hey, where do I start? Like, how do I read the Bible? Because I start in Genesis and I get bored by Exodus and all of these types of things. Come talk to me. That's what I'm here for, to help prepare you to share the gospel. That's my job. But I believe that Jesus is calling us to one of these two things, to step outside of the comfortable and to prepare for what he is calling us to do. See, Jesus sees a fresh purpose in you, and he wants to use you to share the good news that he has come to give everlasting life to all people. So as we prepare to sing this last song together, I want you to ask God, say, God, what are you speaking to me today? Do I need to step outside of my comfort zone? Are you calling me to something or to someone specifically to share the gospel? Or God, do I need to take this time to spiritually prepare for what you're calling me to do in the future? Let's take this time, respond to the Lord together as we listen to this song.
Jesus said.